What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 8th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Gettys. What's wrong?
I just spilled everywhere. I was like, I'm going to sip the entire time you do my intro. Yeah. And then I realized
just that I had my eyes closed. I think
the lid wasn't closed all the way.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
God, how much do you miss straws?
Yeah.
That's
a whole thing.
Yeah.
That's a whole damn thing. Barrett, when you get a chance.
No, he's already on the move. He's already out there.
He's still on the move. I'm doing good.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Yu-Gi-Oh reference.
Come on, man. You know, I'm too old for Yu-Gi-Oh. I don't understand what they're all about.
Yu-Gi-Oh was great, man. Yu-Gi-Oh is great.
What is the point of Yu-Gi-Oh? They're not the digital monsters. They're not the pocket monsters.
No, Yu-Gi-Oh is the card game that you can make the cards turn into real monsters just for the battle, though.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It was fantastic.
Hold on. The one where you put them down and like they went from balls into things?
There's no balls.
That's
Bakugan.
Bakugan.
But Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like fucking cool. I'll send you to the fucking Shadow Realm, right?
Yeah. That was,
So is it a show?
Yu-Gi-Oh! It's a card game that even in the show, it's a card game.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the show, though, they have real monsters.
With the cards, you'd put them on this thing and they would kind of like make holograms come
like
up
Eye
with
of
the monsters.
Judgment.
But
remember that PlayStation 3 game, Eye of Judgment?
Yes. When that happened, everyone was like, holy shit, it's the Yu-Gi-Oh! Game. But in the show, they're not really holograms. Like, they were real. It's weird.
It's weird.
Bakugan, man. That was one I remember going to an E3, and there was, I forget what publisher was showing, like, 900 games at Judges Day. And they're like,
THQ.
It probably was, honestly. And they're like, all right, next up is Bakugan. I remember this fucking suit up there being like, all right, guys, if you don't know what Bakugan is, let me tell you, this is huge in Japan. It's about to be huge over here. We're very happy to be working with the IP. So what it is, you put the ball down on the card, and it goes, bloop. Your gift bag will have a Bakugan when you leave. Like, what the fuck is a Bakugan?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Why are you showing me this Bakugan game?
Bakugan to me is the thing where like you make fun of me for Pokemon because you were like a little too old for it.
Sure.
Bakugan was the generation for me when I gave up the ghost.
You were excited about
the Pokemon, the Digimon, the Yu-Gi-Oh.
You were thinking about sex at that point. You're like,
hell
I got
yeah,
time
man.
To think about how I'm putting these balls. I got other balls to
Track
put other
cards.
Places. Speaking of Manscaped. We're going to talk about, wait, what's going on? We're going to talk about 2K's earnings, the fact that no one ever is going to stop GTA 5 from selling,
no one.
And Death Stranding coming to two PC stores, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. We want your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to twitch.tv/kindafunnygames each and every weekday. We, live, run you through it. Man.
We alive.
I'm all over the place today. I don't even know what
it's
I'm doing.
It's Friday, man. Friday. Gotta
that's
get down
what I'm saying.
On Friday.
And I'm still confused why this guy. I mean, that's why, obviously, THQ had so many problems back in the day. This fucking suit telling me about Bakugan. I can't keep it straight from the Yu-Gi-Oh's or the Pokemon or the Digimon. You know what I mean?
It's a lot, Greg.
If you're watching live on Twitch, go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. I'm ready for this weekend. Video game time. You know what I mean? Housekeeping for you. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Matthew, Carolina, Blackjack, Zach Parsley, and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped and Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
He straight up sounded like Mortal Kombat for a second.
He did.
I know.
Hey, 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thanks a lot, too, Barrett. How whatever you tweeted, I already got a you're wrong about a fucking tweet from you. They're not even waiting for the story to come up.
I was trying to get people invested.
Entice them?
Yeah, entice them. I wasn't going to say straight out.
Don't say it.
Okay.
Wait for the headline. Don't worry about it, all right? God, I'll tell you what. Number one. Can anything stop GTA 5? We're going to talk about some of the Take-Two sales. This is Eddie over at GameSpot. As part of Take-Two's latest earnings call, the company shared new sales numbers for some of its biggest games from the Rockstar and 2K labels. Starting with the biggest one, Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto 5 has shipped an astonishing 115 million copies, which is up 5 million copies in 3 months.
3 months.
That is a tremendous figure, especially so given the game is more than 6 years old. Jesus.
In the last
fucking Christ.
3 months, Greg.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold more copies than Resident Evil 2 Remake has since launch.
Okay. That's an interesting figure.
Think about that.
That's a lot of copies.
Of what is being talked about as one of the games of the year this year.
Yeah.
3 months.
This is a game of a generation. This is something that happens once in a lifetime. You know what I mean? Except that we've only had one lifetime with games. I digress. Gearbox's Borderlands 3, which is published by 2K Games, has now reached 7 million copies sold in. That's up from 5 million shipped in its first week. About 70% of sales of Borderlands 3 were digital, which is good news for 2K because printing discs cuts into the profitability of a game. Across all of its games, Take-Two's digital share of console game sales reached 50% for the latest quarter, which is up from 31% during the same period last year. To a conversation we were having last time you were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is further evidence of the waning popularity of physical media. Another Rockstar release, Red Dead Redemption 2, now stands at 26.5 million copies shipped. Sales are improving again, it seems, as the 1.5 million copies shipped during the quarter is up from 1 million copies shipped during the three-month period before that. Importantly, these numbers do not include PC, as the sales only cover the period through September 30th. Of course, Red Dead Redemption just launching now here on this PC platforms for your nerdies like Fran over there.
Yeah.
Who are playing it just to see how pretty it is and then stopping because, of course, they've played it before. They don't need to do, you know what I mean? Get out of here.
Because, of course, they've played it before. Some more context, though.
Please give me some context.
I bring up the Resident Evil thing.
You sure did.
Just because I had those sales numbers handy because yesterday on Gamescast we talked about them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in my hand. Monster Hunter World, though, Capcom's number one best-selling game of all time at 14 million.
Yeah.
So that's Capcom's number one selling game of their entire life is only three times as much as the last 3 months of Grand Theft Auto V.
Crazy.
Looking at the list of best-selling games of all time.
Please do.
Number one, we have Minecraft. Two, we have Tetris. Three, we have Grand Theft Auto V. And that's copies sold, which gets complicated because obviously Grand Theft Auto V a lot more expensive.
Sure.
Than those other guys.
Tetris a pack in two on the Game Boy, right?
Yeah.
So that's how that number got boosted.
Yeah. Wii Sports right behind that at 82.8 million.
Pack in for the Wii.
Yep. Then PUBG at 50 million.
Pack in for
that.
PS4, of course. It's a joke, everybody. Calm down.
Then you broke me for a second. Super Mario Brothers at 48, and then Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow at 47. It's crazy to think that,
where,
like,
where do you think GTA ends up? GTA
5. Ah, man.
What is the... I'm sorry. So, give me the top three again.
So that's the thing. Sales? Minecraft, we're at 176 million.
Okay.
Tetris at 170 million.
Okay.
GTA 5 at 115 million. Will Grand Theft Auto rise in the ranks?
I can't imagine.
So here's the thing. Tetris gets complicated because I don't know exactly what they're counting with Tetris.
And you're wrong. RHD16 says Tetris numbers are inflated because they count every version of Tetris ever made, i.e. Tetris on the Game Boy and Tetris Effect count towards the same sales numbers.
Tetris Effect also counts. Interesting. Okay.
That's what RHD16 says.
Yeah.
Can we believe RHD16? I don't know. This is the first time they or this chemical compound that's become sentient has showed up in your wrong to tell me what's going on.
Now, the same thing could be said about Minecraft and Grand Theft Auto V. There's the difference, though, of Tetris literally being different games, the same core gameplay, but a lot of additions, a lot of subtractions here and there.
A lot of additions.
Like, I wonder if Tetris Attack counts. Totally different game.
According to RHD.
Tetris Attack?
Anything Tetris, he says.
But Tetris Attack, different game. It's more similar to Puyo Puyo Pop, Greg.
My apologies.
You know what I mean? There's no falling blocks.
Yeah.
So I wonder what counts as Tetris games that make the sales number. But Tetris aside, let's just look. Start there.
Okay.
Can Grand Theft Auto V catch up to Tetris?
I, of course, say no.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the numbers we're talking about are insane, right? Up 5 million copies in 3 months.
Yeah.
So the ball isn't stopping rolling, right? Like, what? Another 3 months, another 5 million, maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
Another, you know.
But the thing here is, like, that's, we're gonna need a lot of months then.
Sure.
We run out of months at some point. And I
you
think that's the thing where Tetris games, I don't expect this number to rise that much in the next 2 years.
Sure.
GTA will. I don't think it'll make up the difference.
Now, do you want to get fucking nuts?
Let's get nuts.
What if at the launch of PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlet, Rockstar's like, awesome, here's GTA 5, PS5, Xbox Scarlet. It'd be a game that went from PS3 360 to PS4 Xbox One to PS5 Scarlet.
That would be insane.
We know you love GTA Online. We have no intentions of turning it off. We are working on the next GTA, GTA 6. It'll be coming, blah, blah, blah. But we want to make sure you have something to play right now. Here you go.
Fuck, yeah.
Bells
I don't
and
know.
Whistles, PC version, everything's fucking nice.
I think that we're not going to see that type of ports to the next gen. I think it's going to be patches and stuff.
That's what we'd like to believe, but we keep. I mean, what's Ubisoft's deal? You saw them confirm they're going to do cross-gen games. Their next five AAA games are cross-gen.
But we'll see what that actually means.
Sure.
Once we do.
Yeah.
I think that's the key thing for me is like...
Here's my thing is if I'm Take-Two, I'm Rockstar, my big swinging dick out there, I see Tetris and I'm like, oof, it is going to be tough to catch them. I guarantee I'm fucking putting out a Grand Theft Auto with the goddamn... Grand Theft Auto 5 PS5
But you're not
edition.
Looking at Tetris. You're looking then at Minecraft.
Oh, sure
which,
I am. Oh, yeah,
which
totally.
I guess is not,
that's not that far.
That
once,
far.
Yeah, you're 6 million off.
That's three and a half months later. You know what I mean?
Once you get fucking Tetris underneath your boot, Minecraft's the next to fall.
It is nuts how different a echelon GTA 5, Tetris, and Minecraft are compared to these other ones. They're so far ahead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get where you're what you're putting down, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
That would be insane.
I'm just saying, man.
Tetris is going to keep on trudging along. Minecraft, I do think, is going to... We see it every month in the top downloads. So it's like,
yeah.
That is also getting...
That's going to keep trucking. Yeah, Minecraft's not... Yeah.
Things that will be on every console going forward. I don't know, man.
The reason I don't think it'll happen is that that is such a thirsty move. And that's not how Rockstar usually operates.
Yeah.
Right? Rockstar loves being... Like, we're not going to be at E3. We're not going to do this. We're going to drop trailers and do our own thing and make these big events on our own. So I mean, if I was suddenly put in charge and I was like, let's get this number, I would totally be like, all right, PlayStation, all right, Xbox, we are launching day and date.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be a launch title.
Yeah. I mean, that would be baller. That just sounds unbelievable. Having the number one best-selling game of all time, sure, is the coolest thing ever. But
yeah.
I don't know how much that actually means to the
oh,
people
jack
that
shit.
Are...
Nobody cares. Yeah.
And more importantly,
I don't think Dan Houser is like, fuck, we gotta catch Tetris. He's sitting in Rockstar HQ like, we gotta fucking do this.
I think more importantly, though, is GTA 6.
Yeah.
Where does that fall?
In terms of release date?
Mm-hmm.
I would say...
Because it's kind of nuts to think we went an entire generation.
Without a new GTA, yeah.
From 3 to 2 to none.
Wow. You know what I mean? Wow. Well, you hate to see it happen.
You hate to see it.
So you figure Red Dead was 2018. I don't think it'll be the first year of consoles, so I would think 2021 at the earliest.
Yeah.
And I guess, I'd see it getting announced during 2021 and being a 2022 release spring.
Yeah, I think that's spot on.
Thank you very much, Barrett. Appreciate that you're with me. You know what I mean?
I was thinking the same exact thing before you said it.
Somebody make notes of this, because if I'm right, I want to brag about that. And if I'm wrong, I never want to talk about it again.
Yeah,
you know
no. I mean, that does sound right. But again, at the earliest.
When do you think it's going
to
be?
I don't know, because I feel like we need to know a bit more about how the hardware actually works. And does it make more sense for them to actually port GTA 5 again? Or are they just going to patch it and then you can play it?
I mean,
it
if
there?
These things are supposed to be super fucking cool PCs and shit.
I mean, do they even need to port it, though? Because PS5 is confirmed
backwards compatibility.
Yeah. So, like, do they even need to pay
attention
to
that?
But
again, this is literally back to the conversation we were having about the Ubisoft stuff, right? Of, like, when you buy that new sexy system, you're going to be, oh, man, I got a PlayStation 5. This is rad. You want games that have the PlayStation 5 branding on them at when you go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know that sounds dumb, but it's also like
that.
The excitement of a new console and a new box and the new games. And
I think it's just
there.
On how they market it, though. And again, it sounds stupid to have this conversation because we're getting so close to actually knowing.
Yeah.
But until we know, I still have my money on.
We got a lot of hours to fill until
being
we know, right?
Enhanced for Xbox One X type things where you just get a patch and it makes the game demonstrably better. And I think that if they just sell that as, hey, this is the fancy cool thing. I feel like that's just as good as having the box because it's digital we're talking, right?
Yeah.
For such a high percentage of these games. These people aren't coming home with the Assassin's Creed 10 box. They're just downloading something. And if that download has the
enhanced
PS5,
for whatever.
Xbox Scarlet, whatever the fuck, imagery.
I mean, all you do is slap something on it. It's GTA 5 :
put a bunch of Ks. At least 4. you know?
Yeah, no better. I was going to say, it can't be three.
No less than four. Yeah.
GTA 5, 4K, the KKK 8K, edition.
Just throw whatever the fuck you want on there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Put all the buzzwords, the things that they've been doing already for Xbox One X and PS4 Pro,
yeah.
Kind of. But it's like, it's full on. And it's like, it's everything that we've been hearing about the PS5 so far, about the SSDs and shit.
Okay.
A lot of abbreviations, a lot of letters, a lot of numbers.
All to make, you know, Mark Cerny feel smart, which drives me crazy because he's so smart already.
He's a smart guy, like TJ Maury.
That's the show, The Smart Guy. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Remember when we watched him do his music video?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like that? You didn't like that one bit? In You're Wrong, RHD16 shows up to tell me, this isn't his first appearance in You're Wrong. I showed up in You're Wrong a few weeks ago to talk about how Starbucks in Canada is the same as Starbucks in the United States. Thank you for correcting me. I do like what we do here as well. A lot of people are trying to come in and do this. This is Nanobiologist. To add further to Tetris sales, in an article by IGN dated April 19th, 2019, quote, there's some debate as to whether the sales totals of Tetris's many versions should be lumped together. For the sake of simplicity, we've opted to do so. However, even if we were to separate its many variations, sales of the mobile version alone would seemingly put it atop of the list. It has sold over 425 million units on mobile devices. This is from an IGN article, the top 10 best-selling games of all time. We're going to continue looking at Wikipedia. I don't acknowledge IGN. All right?
Got it. The mobile thing makes this very interesting. Because it's like that, I feel, mucks up the
everything's
counts.
Mucked up. Who cares? We're just all arguing. You know, Dan Houser doesn't care. We shouldn't care either, you know? Yeah. And I'm just putting words in his mouth. Buddy.
Tomorrow, GTA 5 announced for mobile.
there is can you imagine? Like, that is going to happen. At some point, the other ones are
sure.
Cameron Ken also points out that Minecraft is available on mobile too.
Yeah,
sure.
So we'll fucking see. But the way they lump some of these, I'm like, I shake my finger.
Well, it's just like, what's that other one everybody uses? VG charts for sales. It's like guesstimates and stuff. We all take it as Bible truth.
Because here it's like Pokemon. Here's the only thing: red, green, blue,
yellow.
Video
games are cool. That's all.
Video games are cool.
All right, buy the shirt. Kindoffunny.com/store. You could be like Kyle Stevenson, get your photo taken with Kojima in the shirt, and it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Number two on the road report, speaking of Kojima, Death Stranding is coming to Steam and the Epic Game Store summer 2020. Following last week's announcement that 505 Games will publish the PC version of Hideo Kojima's genre-defying Death Stranding, the global publisher has revealed the game will launch simultaneously on the Epic Game Store and Steam in summer 2020. Pre-orders for Death Stranding on PC are available now with the base price of $59.99. Players can pre-order Death Stranding for PC on the Epic Game Store or Steam.
I have a question for you, Greg.
Lay it on me.
Would you say that Death Stranding is genre-defying?
Yeah, because what genre are you going to put it in? Walking Sim? Stealth? BT? It's a Strand game. It made up its own thing.
Yeah.
At the Game Awards, when it wins Strand Game of the Year, we can't argue.
I mean, I guess that's actually a good argument, though, is where does it fall on that stuff? Action adventure,
via how the Game Awards ballots break down, yeah, action adventure. Because I think that's the Jeff's definition is something like action is pretty much shooter. It's the shooter category, yeah. Right? First person shooter, and then action adventure where it's the action and the adventure are equal parts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where I put it.
So it doesn't define much, but
I mean, well, that's, you know, when you get down, you have to put it somewhere. That's where you put it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like then, but I again, feel like you could say genre defying for almost any game that fits in that category. Then.
I don't know, man.
It's all semantics. I'm just saying, like, I find it interesting that we always drop this genre-defying or genre-defining stuff when it's talking about games like Death Stranding.
Sure.
And we don't about just other things. Games, but it's like, why? Like, I feel like that's just trying to make it seem like it's something that it's not necessarily.
Well, it's worth pointing out, of course, this is a PR blast. This is a press release.
Oh, yeah.
So clearly they would say these things. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But in the same breath, like Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
That's not genre-defying or genre-defining. Just a good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So right there, I wouldn't use it there. Here for this weird-ass game with Timefall and fucking this and a BB on my chest and Mads going, I want my BB. That's pretty. That defies genres as I know them. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man.
You don't know. You know what I mean? You don't know about the BB. You never sat around to get your connection to your BB. That's your problem. You fucking wanted a run and gun. You wanted to have a machine gun. You wanted to have a great time. You get in there and you started.
Today's the day, folks.
You started.
You too can have your genres defied.
You started getting some literature from one Hideo Kojima. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And you're like,
the finer things.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna go get a fucking spirit and smash. That was your response. Smoke up, Johnny. You know what I'm saying? Mizuki writes in. to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can. It says, good morning, Greg and Tim. Death Stranding is now out, but in the days leading up to release, PlayStation has been pushing the game more than pretty much every other game I've ever seen. Kojima has been making media rounds with the stars of the game, web ads out the wazoo, collaborating with churches on the Late Late Show, and I'm sure there's more I missed. My question is this. For such an artistic-focused game that seemingly will have divisive opinions of whether it is good or not, is PlayStation wasting their marketing money? Could they have spent this pushing Star Wars as a PlayStation title? Does PlayStation think Death Stranding will become a phenomenon and want to cash in?
I think at the end of the day, there's no waste when it comes to exclusives. Like, yeah. Push your exclusives hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Star Wars is going to sell itself. And you don't need to put that money there because people are going to buy it on whatever system they're going to. I don't think there's a thing that's going to sway them one way or another marketing-wise.
Yeah.
Right? Having said that, I feel so many people, the majority of people are going to play Jedi Fallen Order on PlayStation.
Because sure.
More people have PlayStation.
More PlayStation throughout the world, yeah.
And Star Wars is one of those kind of mainstream games that everyone's going to play.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this, I think this is the right way to market this game. It is weird, but kind of... market the weird as the type of thing that it's like, hey, if you're not trying this, you're missing out, You're the one that's not cool. Kojima going around like a rock star makes it seem awesome. Like you're supposed to give a fuck about him,
right?
You know,
I think that I don't think the marketing dollars are wasted here. I agree with you, Tim, that like first off, of course, it's what you're saying, an exclusive, let alone a first party in quotes, right? It's just technically a second party, but it's first party, whatever. We got yelled at the one time by Insomniac that, second party doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't make any sense, of course, because GeoCorsi's title was second party. What are you talking about, Brian Intihar? What are you talking about, Insomniac Twitter account? I digress. It doesn't matter. So let's just say, for all intents and purposes in this argument, it's a first party title. So you're promoting yourself. You're promoting PlayStation. Whereas Star Wars would have been cool. This is a collaboration with EA. There's some marketing deal, this, that, and the other. But there's always a chance you're going to buy it on Xbox anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Death Stranding that I think speaks so loudly in terms of the mainstream is the cast, where it is the fact that it's Norman Reedus, who, Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, you know him from these things. It's Mad Mikkelsen, you know him from,
Rogue
Hannibal.
One.
Yeah, Rogue One. Yeah. Like, they have all these different people in it, and the churches and the soundtrack and all this stuff, where I think we always talk about video game IP properties being... trans genre is what I'm trying to say, but I mean like
genre
transmedia genre defying transmedia, where, oh man, they did a great thing with Horizon, now there'll be a book, and now maybe they'll try to make a cartoon comic or whatever, whereas this, they're doing it very much, since they're using movie stars and TV stars, I feel like they're trying to do this like a movie in a way we don't see often in video games, where it is the fact that Norman Reedus is like on a billboard in Times Square, not for a movie or a TV show, but for the video game. Churches are on the Late Late Show for a video game, not their song being in the new Batman movie, right? And Norman Reedus has been in Times Square before for movies and TV shows, not for a video game. And we're not to the point, for the most part, right, where you can have Troy Baker be on the billboard or be credited, and people in Times Square be like, holy shit, Troy Baker's in it, right? Like, this is one of those weird moments where we've gone through the looking glass and we're treating a game like a movie, which I think is beneficial when the stars of the game are so well known.
And when it's a movie.
I had to say it.
I had to do it.
I think it's very weird and very different in terms of a game, let alone in terms of a marketing campaign. And it will be interesting to see how that works. Because it is that weird one of, oh, cool, I have a PlayStation 4 and I play 3 to 4 games on it a year. And I see this commercial now and I like Norman Reedus. I loved Boondock Saints. I love Walking Dead. I'll try this game. And imagine somebody downloading this game. Like, cool. And then, like, what the fuck is this game?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of feeds into what I was going at with, I don't think Norman Reedus is like this is a mainstream star. It's like he's had Walking Dead.
He's known.
And I would say he's known, but it's like, he's not a movie star, what I mean, by any stretch of the imagination. Like, he's on TV shows, he's done movies, but I wouldn't say he's a movie star.
He was in the hit movie Air.
Even Mads Mikkelsen, it's like, he's, when you start getting into the more like, I know film, it's like, sure, that crew. Church is definitely speaking to an audience there, where it is the like, yo, we're cool and we listen to cool things.
Yeah.
And I feel like all this builds the narrative of, it's the hipster thing. It's like, you're missing out if you don't know what this is. You don't know Norman Reedus? Psh, get fucking educated, son.
That's, and I feel like
they're doing a good job building that mystique, and especially with how weird this game is.
Yeah.
It is a challenge almost for people to want to understand what it is and want to be like, oh, yeah, 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 I know that thing because it's the cool kids like it.
Sure.
Hideo Kojima, cool kid.
Cool kid.
Right. Yeah. I think great marketing, I think, is to boil it down. It's marketing is what? Hype, getting people interested.
Yeah.
This is definitely going to do that.
I found myself today on the Amazon page for the collector's edition.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I want to spend $200 to get my own BB? That's where I'm at right now. You know what I mean?
The answer is no. I can tell you that right now.
Here's my thing, though. What if I expense it to the company?
Then the answer is like,
we have a BB.
Great. Then we have a BB that Nick's going to throw out one day when you're not here.
Number three. Let's nip some stuff in the bud, even though Barrett's trying to spread false information. EA hasn't abandoned the Skate trademark. This is Chris Higgins over at Hyper Gaming X. Or I'm sorry, Hyper X Gaming. If you hadn't seen, a flare got shot up overnight. Or I believe it was Games Radar was the first that noticed. EA's backed off the Skate 4 trademark. It's dead. They've given up. They've abandoned it. But then there was confusion. Games Radar updated their article, sourcing Chris over here at HyperX Gaming. Mm. Barrett, of course, wants to spread lies.
Did I spread lies, or did I simply ask a question on the tweet?
You brought Adam Bankhurst out of retirement, all right? He's an IGN news writer. He's in here trying to tell me we screwed up when I knew what I was doing.
All I asked was a question. Has EA abandoned the Skate franchise? I didn't say it.
And here's the answer. Get fucked, Barrett. That's the answer.
Damn.
You know what I mean?
Well, that elevated and escalated.
Do you want people to watch come and watch the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames?
No, I prefer the YouTube view. It's because it archives the view and then it looks cool.
It does look
cool. You know what I mean?
Cool.
All right.
I like it. I like people. I like you Twitch people. I like that you're here every day hanging out with us. Right. Seeing when I fucking break an embargo and we have to cut it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'll tell you what. You know, we talked at Extra Life. Chat, be cool. Be cool, chat, right? You guys are always cool when I fuck it up. when I'm in the middle of an article, like, I think this is embargoed. Nobody goes into YouTube and like, Greg said this. You guys are great. I love you
Thank
very much.
You.
Barrett, you're doing a great job. We're just horsing around. Also, while I'm tossing around shout-outs, because I'm having a great day. But
shout it out, Greg.
I want to shout out this fan. Wow. I talk shit about this fan during Gamescast. Doesn't oscillate,
say it, Greg.
Right? But
say
right
it.
Now, I am a big fan.
And?
This fan doesn't blow.
No. It blows you away, is the thing.
It blows doesn't you away.
This it does fan blow.
Doesn't suck.
Fair.
However, today Games Radar has noticed that that this registration process was abandoned in August this year as EA failed to respond to a correspondence related to the trademark. Under the trademark status database at tracking company Justia, the latest status on August 30th for EA's most recent filing was listed as 602 abandoned, failure to respond, or late response. That seems like an abandonment, but two previous filings by EA's management counsel, Vinita Gajwani, show the trademark granted for the game series in 2009 between the release of Skate 2 and Skate 3 was renewed by EA in June this year. Whether or not this was to continue selling Skate and its sequels on digital storefronts like Origin or Steam, or to prepare for another installment in the series is impossible to say, as it is simply a maintenance filing at a mandated interval to retain the ownership. The new filing from February last year is more than likely a redundancy, and when it was abandoned by non-correspondents in August of this year, it was due to the original filing being successfully renewed months earlier. Why continue with your backup when your original plan worked?
Hmm.
This is everybody calm down. I was making my rounds today on IGN and GameSpot, but they were all still had their headlines as EA abandons. I'm sure they're updating as well. You know what I mean? Everybody does great work. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Everyone has
everybody
a
chill. Chat be cool. EA be cool. Everybody be cool.
Hashtag Skate 4.
Are you ever going to see Skate 4, you think?
I honestly, no.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like, I can't imagine them doing it. I feel that we would need a very different EA for them to actually commit to it. And I think that we saw them try this with Mirror's Edge, and it didn't necessarily work.
That's a great point.
And I do think that if they did a Skate 4, it would probably be to that level of success, which is probably not enough for what EA wants to see, especially now that they have things like Star Wars under their belt that they can just at any point make another Star Wars game.
Well, for a few
Star
years.
Wars Skate, you know?
Star Wars Skate, yeah.
Then,
Darth
there
Maul.
You go.
Darth
then,
Maul.
Exactly.
There's precedent.
He's done it before.
At this point, Skate has turned into EA Splinter Cell. Just going to say it. People want it.
I think you're going to get another Splinter Cell, though.
Yeah, I think, the difference there is we're going to get another Splinter Cell, and that's going to do well.
Are you?
You're going to. Pizza bet right now. Square pie, guys. You're going to get it. You're going to get another Splinter Cell. I'll say you get another Splinter Cell in the next 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. Too wide or too small? Huh, tough guy? Yeah, it's easy to sit there on the director mic.
No, I'll fucking take that piece of it.
Come on over here and shake my hand. Somebody write it down. 3 years.
Come on over here and shake my hand.
2022. By the end of 2022, we have a new Splinter Cell game.
I'd be very shocked if we saw a Skate 4.
What's today's date?
Today's date is the 8th.
November 8th, 2022. Let us know.
Let us know.
I love all the stupid things we throw out. That'll come in. We'll be doing a show November 8th, 2022. That'll come in. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? Delete it and move on. I won't even know.
Yeah.
And then my son will take
the reins. Do you think Skate 4 is a possibility?
No. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
But I do feel like you make a great point that I think it's a vocal minority that yells for Skate 4. When you read the tea leaves and it's like, does the world want a skateboarding game right now? It'd be interesting in, you know, EA's dump truck full of money if they were like, God,
let's just shut them up.
We fucked a lot of things up and people hate us for reasons that are good and nonsense. Let's just do it. Let's just give them a Skate 4. Let's
and
just see what happens.
I can see that happening. I just think that requires a form of leadership that an initiative that I haven't seen EA put forth.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's definitely not like
now. I think that we can get back on that train though. Like, how shocking would it be if Jedi Fallen Order is fantastic and does very well, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, Respawn's great. Like, maybe EA as a whole, whatever, but they have Respawn, Apex, and this, and then they can start rebuilding the narrative of what EA means.
It seemed like they were going to do that back with Yarny. Remember when Peter Moore was on the stage? Yeah. He's like, gamers first. It's not just a thing.
I feel like there's a future that EA can have a press conference next year, or EA Play, or whatever it is, but like have something at E3 that, or even the year after. We're in a weird place with the generations, but where they're kind of building out a roadmap that makes gamers go, okay, you know, like that.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe not like fuck yeah, but enough of like, all right, like you've proven yourself. We're listening.
Yeah,
you know, and that could lead to a Skate 4, but there's a lot of ifs there.
A lot of ifs. A lot of big old ifs on that one. Remember at the end of EA Play when I said Skate 4, we ran out of time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I love that one so much. Oh, my God. I was so happy with that. Number four. Let's talk about a few more 2K things before we get out of here. And actually, we have a sixth breaking news story. Number four on the story here. 2K execs were disappointed with WWE 2K20. This is Eddie over at GameSpot. And I assume they were disappointed just like everyone who fucking bought it.
Yeah.
WWE 2K20 launched at the end of October, and the release did not go smoothly. The game was roasted for its buggy nature, with GameSpot's own 2 out of 10 review.
2 out of 10!
Stating its, quote, torrent of frequent and disruptive bugs and glitches negatively affected the entire experience. Who would have thunk? Developer Visual Concepts released a patch to address the issues, and now an executive at the developer's parent company has responded as well. Take-Two president Karl Slatoff said on an earnings call that the company is disappointed by the low review scores from critics and the feedback from players. He added that Visual Concepts will continue to update and improve the experience over time with more patches. Quote, while we are disappointed with the reviews and consumer feedback for WWE 2K20, last week Visual Concepts released a patch that should address many of the concerns. They will continue to make further enhancements to the gameplay experience, Slatoff said. Looking forward, Slatoff said the poor launch of WWE 2K20 has not soured Take-Two's optimism for the franchise overall. Quote, the WWE brand continues to expand worldwide, and we believe there remains a substantial long-term opportunity to grow our WWE 2K series by improving the quality of the game, he said. With the quality being what it is this year, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be too hard. Like, I feel like they missed parts of this quote, though.
Which one?
Like the slide off. I'm sure he said something more to the extent of, while we're disappointed at the reviews and consumer feedback for WWE 2K20, we're stoked on the sales. So
yeah, exactly. It's the top 20 on PSN, yeah. So we definitely sold a few. That's all we cared about. It's great. Fucking embarrassing. That game should not have seen the light of day.
No.
Should have been delayed. Should have done a bunch of different stuff. They should totally reboot. They should take a year off. Maybe two, come back with a WWE game that people would be super stoked to play.
Hell yeah.
Number five, The Outer Worlds, and this is continuing on to financial stuff. The Outer Worlds is selling really, really good. This is Giuseppe Nelva at Twinfinite. During Take-Two's financial conference call for investors and analysts, the company's executive talked about The Outer Worlds and more. Speaking of Obsidian Entertainment's RPG, President Karl Slatoff mentioned that the game is a critical and commercial success that is exceeding the publisher's expectations, earning outstanding reviews. That being said, during the following Q&A session, Chief Executive Officer Strauss Zelnick mentioned that the company can't release specific numbers about The Outer Worlds as it's, quote, very, very early, but it's outperforming expectations handedly. So congratulations, Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the breaking news I had here is just something, maybe it's not even that much breaking, but I missed. But thank you to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong contributor, Cry Scott, we're going to say. This is one here from gamesindustry.biz, Christopher Dring. PlayStation to open development studio in Malaysia. PlayStation will open a new development office in Malaysia in 2020. It's the company's first Southeast Asian studio and will provide art and animation as part of Worldwide Studios' efforts to make exclusive games for PlayStation consoles. Worldwide Studios, of course, include the likes of Guerrilla Games, Japan Studio, Insomniac, Media Molecule, Naughty Dog, Polyphony Digital, London Studio, Sucker Punch, and many more. So that's something I had missed. You lied a bit, and you're wrong getting me into it, but good job, everybody. You got me there. So, yeah.
Yeah. We did our Gamescast episode yesterday that is live today for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames supporters, and we'll be live Monday for everyone else. And I thought it was a really good episode. We did a topic of the show where we tried to pick the games that defined each PlayStation generation. And without spoiling too much, I thought it was very interesting how defined the PlayStation 4 is and how easy it was to kind of pick the key games for that compared to PS3. And it's exciting going into PS5 knowing that that will continue, or at least feeling like it's going to continue. And things like this, I think, are a really good sign of that. You know, bolster this first-party developments.
Of course.
In every way, both in support and in, you know, kind of the ones pushing everything forward from the front ends. All the changes being made with Shuhei and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Could be very interesting.
It's an interesting time for PlayStation, and I can't wait to see what these seeds grow into. Mm-hmm. The mighty Deku tree, maybe?
Probably not.
Maybe some Wampa fruits, you know what I mean? You never know what you're going to get. Yeah. But the growth is still so far away, Tim. God. If I wanted to see what fruits had grown on the other side of the wall today, where could I go to find the fruits?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. It is a humongous Friday. Everybody strap in, all right? Need for Speed Heat is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Jumanji the Video Game is on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Death Stranding is on PS4. Gollum is on PSVR. Super Lucky's Tales come to Switch.
Gollum is on PSVR.
Yeah.
Wasn't Gollum like the first PSVR game we ever saw?
That now that you mention it, that does sound like something. I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I do remember Gollum. I just remember the name. It doesn't matter. Stormwind EX is on Xbox One and Switch. Disney Sumsum Festival is on Switch. You excited for that?
Sumsum.
You ready for Tum Sums? I'm sorry, Tum Sums? You gonna play that, you Disney dork?
No, I don't like the Sumsums.
Okay. Layton's Mystery Journey. Catrelli, a Millionaire's Conspiracy is on Switch. Tanks is on Xbox One. Vilfaris is on Xbox One. House of Golf is on Switch. One Person Story is on Switch. Football Game is on Switch. Blindy is on Switch. Uber Mosh Omega is on PC. Deep Ocean Rush is on PC. Cthulhu, Catharsis is on PC. The Stretcher is on Switch.
Which looks awesome.
Yeah, this is a Shadow Drop co-op-y thing, right?
Yeah, it's like some overcooked, like, nonsense gang beast stuff.
Nice.
Very cool.
Okay. Then, as of today on Modern Warfare, there are two new multiplayer maps, right? No. There's a new multiplayer map, Shoot House, a new Ground War map, Krovenik Farmland, Hardpoint, and this is all, of course, free to all players as they're doing it this year. Alicia Judge at IGN reports the third wave of DLC for Fire Emblem's Three Houses is now available, bringing new quests, fresh attire, a sauna, and, critically, the ability to interact with animals. Then there's a big thing for Divinity Original Sin 2 DLC. I will read from their release. Order and Magic is the moniker given to the latest gift bag DLC drop for Divinity Original Sin 2, the critically acclaimed RPG that recently landed on Switch with a 94 Metacritic rating. That's how you fucking say a press release. You get me some information. Featuring cross-save support with Steam, players can enjoy the PC gamer number one adventure from their desktop and then continue with it on their Switch. Order of Magic is the third free DLC drop to be patched into all versions of Divinity Original Sin 2 across PS4, Xbox One, Mac, and PC. As ever, the contents of each gift bag are accessible via the in-game menu where you can independently enable or disable each individual feature. So that's a whole bunch of stuff there if you want to get into it. New dates for you. Where the Water Tastes Like Wine is coming out on December 2nd. Excited for that. Yes, Your Grace gets a Steam beta coming November 15th. And then have you read this ahead on this one?
I saw pictures of this.
So I'm going to give you a long read. There's no official release date. It's 2020. But it's funny enough that I wanted to read it.
Go for it.
AMC announced today the debut of Airplane Mode, the first video game published by AMC Games, which will be featured during Desert Bus for Hope 2019, the long-running video game charity fundraiser. Airplane Mode encourages players to unplug and enjoy a long-haul commercial flight across the Atlantic. For this project, AMC Games also partnered with Slightly Off Sibling, blah, blah, blah. Players take the role of a window seat passenger for real-time duration of the flight, experiencing every travel detail, from taxi to takeoff to meal service, in-flight entertainment, and the behaviors of the cabin crew and fellow passengers. Airplane Mode presents players with randomized flight events in every session, creating an endlessly replayable experience for flight enthusiasts and content creators alike. Additional features include fairly accurate satellite imagery of your path.
Fairly accurate.
Carry-on bag with a book, headphones, pen, and charging cable. Overhead reading light and complimentary aircraft information card. IFC-produced in-flight safety video. Chance of inclement weather, turbulence, bad Wi-Fi, and delays. Authentic ambient noise, and in-flight magazine filled with travel articles, crossword, and Sudoku.
I don't think a press release has ever given me this much anxiety. I hate this.
Why?
To the depths of hell. I hate flights. I hate being on flights. I hate long flights. I don't want this. Nobody wants this.
Nobody wants it, but it seems like something I want to play.
No, it doesn't. No, you fly more than anyone in the world.
I know, and that's why I want to do it and see what it's all about. Because it's got to go bad at some point, right? So do you think it's that?
That's the one thing that they don't have the balls to do, Greg. Is I was thinking, I was like, imagine you do this. And then, like, there's so few people who are actually going to make it all the way, you know?
Yeah.
But what if there's just some shit that starts happening? There's, like, a mystery you got to
figure out. Something's on the wing.
Like, what if they did what everyone thought Gone Home was going to do? Which was, like, at some point, something's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
What if randomly you crash? That'd be fucked up.
Totally.
Yeah, it could get even more fucked up, you know?
Here's my thing, though. Like, first off, it looks like a VR game. Their press release honestly sucks. Terrible press release.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the 2020 thing, I had to get off the Steam page where it's up. The Steam page doesn't say anything about VR, but it looks pretty clearly like it's in VR because you got the thing in the pen and you're moving your head like this. Is it coming to PlayStation VR? And if I play it once for 6 hours, do I get a platinum trophy? Can I just sit there, be on the flight, do my thing?
God, would you really do that? Would you?
Well, no, I'd use a mannequin. We got the mannequin.
Would you do
here.
A six-hour flight? For a platinum trophy.
In real life?
Yeah.
Do I get the airplane miles too?
No.
Oof. No, then I wouldn't do it. That's too much of an investment.
I don't
right
believe
there.
You.
Nah. If I get the miles too, if you're like, you got it, you get the United miles going out there and
but
you get the trophy.
No, it's not United. It's AMC.
Well, this one you can easily, there's no one checking in on me. So I can just turn it on and put the headset down, right? It's not like it has to, not like a bing, ding, you know, ding around here, bing a ding, they're going to throw you off the plane. You know, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Get your head on straight. You know what I mean? Jeez, man.
I'll try.
Time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about, just like Nick and Andy did. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35, and once you notice thinning hair, it can be too late. It's time to act. This Black Friday, secure the best deal of all, a healthier, thicker hairline. The solution is 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is giving and helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These are prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. Hims connects you with real doctors online, which can save you hours completely confidentially and discreetly. Answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review it, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Order now. My listeners get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last, and subject to a doctor's approval. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy or somewhere else. Instead, go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Our next sponsor is Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fella. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. We're talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Right, Tim?
Hell yeah, we are. We are mowing lawns like no one's business. By lawns, I mean pubic hair.
That's us, you and me. Hair. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside the brand-new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes the perfect gift this holiday season. Mm-hmm. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you use on your balls. That's just nasty.
It is nasty.
The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting it on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. These products make you smell good, so you got to get on it and start doing it. The Perfect Package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. What do you got for me?
Manscaped sent us like a care package with a bunch of
stuff.
With the
Perfect
Package. I was giving it to everyone in the office of like, hey, you get this, you get that, whatever. And a lot of the like random, like there's just things that make you smell better, or just like a ton of different.
Who smells your balls?
Not condiments.
Read me.
What do you call condiments for human people? Like perfume or
cologne.
What is that? Or like deodorant? Like what is that? They're not condiments.
No, they're not. Stop being condiments. I
gave all the human condiments to my brother, Cool Greg.
Oh wow.
And then hours later, at about 10:30 at night, he just texted me, "Bro, you gave me ball deodorant." Yes, I did. Cool Greg.
Use it, Cool Greg. Come on.
We don't have the review yet.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code GAMES. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Your wrong information here. Lord of Pwn says Gollum was first announced at PSX 2015. So there you go. You were right. It's been a long time since we heard about that. Yeah.
Been a long time.
Without you, my friend. Cam Koenig says, Tim, are you thinking of fragrances? But even that doesn't sound right.
No,
either.
But you know what I'm
toiletries.
Talking about.
No,
toiletries. Yeah.
But you want to say,
we both have to say
toiletries on my body.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying.
Should be a name for a lot.
There is, for sure there is.
Things you put on yourself. Toiletries, I think, is the best analog to condiments.
What?
Yeah. Can you come up with something better?
Sundries.
That's a made up word.
Well, geek and sundry. No, I mean, like, we need somebody who works at Walgreens. You know, they would know. Who do you know? Anybody? Any of your friends ever work at Walgreens?
No. Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, my friend Vincent. He was a manager.
Call him up.
No.
Call him up. There's right no now, coward.
There's no way he would know. He also got fired.
Who just came in? Andy, come here. We need you on shock, Mike. Can I get Shock Mike turned up, Barrett? Can you get Shock Mike? Andy, clear your mind, all right? Is it clear? What do you call, as a group, not as a specific thing, things you put on your body? Lotions, deodorants. What would you call all of that? If I went to an aisle and I was like, I need this thing in the aisle of Walgreens. What aisle am I going to? Okay.
I have no idea.
Because Tim was like condiments. human condiments,
dude.
They're like body condiments.
G Hornet says the word Tim is looking for is topicals. The Arago says in the UK we call sprays and deodorants smellies. And then Lord of Pwn says beauty products is what Tim is maybe thinking of.
You know what?
I'd say topicals is closest.
I like smellies.
We're also including like perfume or cologne. Would you call those topicals?
Smelly topicals.
Okay,
yeah,
damn,
that's,
man.
That's a good one. That's
UK,
a good
man.
One.
Smellies.
I like how we just take it as Bible truth. Somebody's like, that's what they're calling it. That's what it is.
I'm making a motion. Human condiments.
I don't mind it. Yeah, human condiments is funny. Michael Gulliver writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hi, Tim and Greg.
Sup.
With the news that this year's XO19 in London is seeing press and influencers being flown out to attend, and the fact that Phil Spencer and developers will be doing interviews immediately afterwards, what do you think we can expect? It appears that some press may have been briefed for news, as IGN are promoting their coverage of the show as well as post-show interviews. Maybe some game reveals, cough, cough, Fable 4, cough, cough, or even some Scarlet news? Tim, we've been kicking this ball around the office for a while.
We have.
XO19.
Yes.
What do you expect from it?
I don't know, because we've been trying to decide, do we do live coverage or not? Because it would be very disruptive to our normal scheduling.
Right.
Because of the timing of the day.
Yeah.
So based on the last XO19, or XO18 it would have been, I would feel that we don't necessarily need to cover it, but it also would, if it were a bit more convenient, I'd say we totally should.
Sure.
So I'm not expecting much based on that, right?
Based on which part of that? Based on us not wanting to do it? Or not us getting in the way of our day?
Based on just like my gut telling me like, oh, it's not necessarily worth moving things around. But I don't know. Like, I feel like I can be convinced otherwise by you're wrong or by somebody telling me, Tim, you're wrong.
Well, last year was fun, but it was the thing, too, is the Saturday thing. That was when we crossed over with What's Good Games, right?
Yeah. I don't know, because, like, I feel that
it does feel like they're taking it more seriously. I've heard about this, hey, we're flying people out there.
There could be a lot of egg in my face, Greg, if we didn't cover it in some things.
Nanobiologist has a tweet from Xbox, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Xbox tweeted today that XO19 will have. And this is the tweet. Hashtag XO19 kicks off with an episode of Inside Xbox you won't want to miss. 12 Xbox Game Studio titles, including new reveals and PC. New PC and console game reveals for Xbox Game Pass. Big Project xCloud news. That sounds worth reacting to, personally.
Yeah.
Because I love the xCloud.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what's up. Maybe they're giving us a real date. Maybe they're releasing it that day. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And then also 12 Xbox Game Studio titles.
Yeah.
I know it's disruptive. I think we should do it.
Okay.
Okay, good. Pleasure. Now, are you expecting a lot out of it? And also, if it's not that impressive, are you going to get mad at me?
No. Okay, I just needed someone to tell me I'm wrong. You just told me I'm wrong.
It's cool. I don't think it's that you're wrong. It's just they're teasing it like there's cool stuff happening, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to see what they did last year. What their tweet looked like last year going into it.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
They're just in a weird place, Xbox. This feels, to me, the way that they've been talking about this event, it feels more like a fan event that they're just like, we did it last year. We're going to keep doing it. Next year's, I can imagine being a bit more of a banger.
The fact that they didn't mention Scarlet there makes me say they're not talking about next gen. Because you'd say that. You would say Scarlet.
I mean, they're not talking about next gen. It's too early.
I mean, they already talked about it at E3, right? So I mean,
like, yeah, but I mean, we're not getting another. Like, the next time we hear about Scarlet, I think it's going to be here's what it is. Here's the name. Here's what it's actually called.
Okay.
And I think this is. I know it's too early because they wouldn't just call this XO19 if they were talking about Scarlet doing the blowout. It would be. All the promotion would be.
Here we go.
All eyes on us. We're doing it. Next gen, baby. Okay. Right?
I agree.
Like, if PlayStation were to do PSX again,
yeah,
and that's where they were going to announce the PlayStation 5 stuff, they wouldn't hide that.
No. That's what you lead with. Yeah. Okay. Lawn Biologist, no relation, writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, let me start by thanking Kinda Funny for supporting the elderly community, like giving work to people like Papa Scarpino, and also for making my days feel shorter as I check the pH levels on my customers' lawns. My question is to you, Greg. Yesterday, Beat Saber released new soundtracks in collaboration with Monster Cat and Rocket League. Have you come back to any of these new songs? And also, did you ever make it to expert level? I recommend Monster Cat's Overkill and Rattlesnake songs. Thanks for everything, The Lawn Biologist. I mean, this just came out yesterday. No, I haven't turned it on to download them and get them in there. I will. And then, no, I never move up to expert. It's just too crazy. Mm-hmm. But again, it was that thing where I fell off. I was doing it for like, a month and a half, then fell off, and then never got back on, and the quest came, and I started playing the quest a bit, but
yeah,
I love Beat Saber.
I want to play Beat Saber.
You should.
Like really play it. I've only played it like a little bit at the office, like an hour here,
take the quest
there.
Home.
Yeah, I should.
Also, I got this new, with this like porn pass for like 360 for like VR porn.
It's a pass?
Well, it's like it's this porn company sent a press release. They're like, hey, we're on Quest now with this porn. And I'm like, okay, cool. Can we get an account? And they're like, okay, here you go. I'm like, all right.
I'm in, dude.
I haven't turned it on yet.
Porn?
Yeah.
Sounds like a weekend.
Exactly. I was going to say, well, your arms are going to get tired one way or the other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Rita! All caps, Rita. Writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, FaZe Jarvis, a.k.a. Little Jarvis, a.k.a. Jarvis Kahart Hattie, received a lifetime ban from Fortnite. I have to come out and say how frustrated I am with the whole situation. I've seen so many comments voicing criticism of Jarvis and support of Epic's decision. I just can't get over How many people want to see such severe consequences for a 17-year-old kid? I have a lot of sympathy for a 17-year-old doing something stupid. What do you think of Epic's decision and the surrounding conversation? Much love, regardless of where you fall on the issue. Rita! So I had heard scuttlebutt about this and not seen any of it because it's, again, one of those weird esports crossing over into our world kind of whatever thing. And so when I saw the question, I put it on here today. I went and watched Jarvis's video and then read I watched CNN's recap video. And then I went and read the Kotaku article that's like kind of like, hey, this is what's happening. Here's the argument for and against. I guess Ninja thinks it's way too severe and is up in arms about it and things like that. Tim, what is your take on it?
It's
from the little bit you know. Because again, from the little I know, definitely one of those. Hey, we're leaving our comfort zone. Yeah. This isn't like Herman Hulse getting promoted. I can tell you all about that all day.
I've never met
Lil Jarvis before.
It's not necessarily leaving our comfort zone because I think it's more on the content creator side than it is the esports side. And I think that is the interesting factor of this, where cheating in competitive games, it's like absolutely not. Like you fucked up. Like that's just straight up not okay.
Yeah.
Cheating in games and stuff for the content, where like that's kind of just what you're doing. Different story. Cheating games for content without making that clear that that's what you're doing, which it seems to be the case here, you know?
So to be clear, yeah, if you're totally unfamiliar, from what I understand, yes, Jarvis, this kid, is a content creator, right?
Yeah.
Based on Fortnite. He, on one of his videos or streams or whatever, with an alt account, not his real account on Fortnite, went in and was like, hey, I'm using this aimbot kind of thing to like, I'm not competitively, but like showing his audience how it is. Mm-hmm. Never told him where to go to get it. Was like, you shouldn't do this. Don't cheat. Was kind of just doing a video of like, but this is what cheating looks like when you use a cheating thing. Yeah. Not that it was educational, but it was just like,
it's content.
I'm fucking around.
He's making videos for to entertain.
And Epic saw that and the ISR was like, and just nuked him out of existence.
And this is one of those weird places where at the end of the day, there's a TOS, there's terms of service that you're not allowed to do X, Y, and Z. And it's on them to act accordingly. Like, is this too severe? Sure. But it's also in the writing. Like, you can't do this stuff. If you do it, you get in trouble. He's doing it, profiting off of it also by making videos and stuff.
Yeah.
You're not just entitled to be able to make content with video games. And I've always believed that and thought that.
Yeah, it's not a right.
And it's not a right. And people were all up in arms about Nintendo years ago.
When they did the creators program. The
creator program. And it's like, whether or not I agree with Nintendo from a business perspective of allowing people to make Let's Plays and stuff or not, because I think that everyone... behooves everybody to just allow people to
create content with
your content for sure, but it's on them. Like, we're not entitled to be able to use their gameplay and all this stuff. So for this kid to do something that is actively going to harm the Fortnite community, I understand Epic being like, nah, and using this as an example of like, nah.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. And there's so many different sides of this story. And again, I'm by no means an expert on it and super versed in it. It's the idea that Epic, and this is what every article is talking about and having other examples. Epic, apparently, their policy, which I've never looked into, is, of course, zero tolerance. If you cheat or use cheats, we ban you from the game. And that is a hard line that I think obviously works when you find the bevy of cheaters. Not to mention, again, keep in mind, we're talking about a game, one of the most popular, if not the most popular game in the world, right? And so... the amount of cheaters they have, the amount of things they have to deal with, they can't sit there. It's not like, you know, Nick Chester, when he's not doing PR, is going through the case files and like going one by one and seeing what it is. It's like, this is a train that's moving 1,000,000 miles an hour. We have a line. This is the line. Don't do it. You'll be banned. You're banned. That's it. I get that. That's their prerogative. It is their company. It is their game. It is their thing. We don't know what it's like in their office when they have 1,000,000 other things going on. This case, right, it's this 17-year-old kid now crying in his video on YouTube, and I'm not throwing that out to be like, what a bitch. I'm saying, like, he's crying in the video. Like, he didn't see this happening. I remember being a very dumb 17-year-old kid and doing stuff that I would have, if I had YouTube videos, made videos about and cried about, why did I do that?
Yeah.
But it's the thing of, again.
There's a difference, though, a key difference, that he's a 17-year-old in FaZe Clan. It's not just he's a 17-year-old kid. He's a 17-year-old kid that... this is his job. He makes money from this.
Sure.
He is part of a team.
I'm not defending it.
I'm just saying, like, the 17-year-old, who cares if he's 17 or 27 or 77,
sure.
Right? Like, what it comes down to, I get that there is a difference, and it's like, oh, he is young and makes mistakes, but he's young with being surrounded by people. He knew what he was doing. And it's like, that's there's different consequences when you are in the public eye. He is in the public eye.
Sure.
Not only that, he's like putting it out there.
And then
it's like the Jackass crew back in the day.
Bam Margera.
Doing all this like crazy ass shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're filming it. Are they going to get in trouble? Yeah, they're going to get in trouble. They've gotten in trouble a bazillion times.
Yeah.
But they had MTV to bail them out.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
He has FaZe Clan to bail him out or whatever, but they can't for certain
things.
And
I feel like that's the thing here, is like you hit the nail on the head in terms of being a content creator and being in FaZe Clan and being someone prominent in some regard. It's the idea that, cool, now you fucked up, and everybody knows the policy is zero tolerance. If we bail you out, it becomes that slippery slope. We're cool. Now we can't. What happens when the next person fucks up and they fuck up worse? But hey, we need help and we're that. Or it's a normal person who uses a cheat one time to try, they get banned, and they then go to everywhere and start shouting from the rooftops, I did something very similar and couldn't get out of it. Why should this kid get out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a ball of wax.
Definitely is a ball of wax.
You're a ball of wax, and I love it. Mm-hmm. So glorious over there. Manscaped. Nice and smooth.
God damn it.
It's time to squad up. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you. Everybody has fun together. Today, Hyde Indoors needs help. What is the game? It's the game of Extra Life. This weekend, the Kinda NYC crew is doing their annual Extra Life stream. We are invading KDGF regular Billy the Door's house in streaming. They must have meant KFGD, right? And just like streaming 24 hours to the big, beautiful kids. We have a bunch of cool things planned and some great prizes to give away. Go to tinyurl.com/kindanyc2019 for more details or check out at kindanyc on Twitter. Hope to see you in the chat, Catherine. KindaNYC, go raise some money for those big, beautiful kids.
So big. So
Titanic.
Beautiful.
Glistening children.
Gigantic.
Time for You're Wrong. This is where people write in. It's kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. Nanobiologist points out that Jack X is coming to PlayStation 4. It's getting a physical release through Limited Run Games. Pre-orders open November 15th.
Interesting. Barrett, that do anything for you?
Sorry, I was doing other stuff.
You excited for Jack X, a Limited Run Jack X?
No.
Okay, cool.
Jack X is the kart racer, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The Jack and Daxter kart racer?
Yeah, no.
That checks out. No, okay. Indie Ronan says, according to the internet, fragrance is a generic unisex term for perfume. Cologne is the conventional term used for perfume marketed towards men, but still means it falls under the blanket term fragrance. But that doesn't help out deodorants.
Yeah, there's still like a
that doesn't help out other human condiments.
Yeah.
Brian has a question that I'll allow. Will you please get as drunk as you did at the last XO? No, we will not get that drunk, especially in the middle of a Thursday. You asked, what did the XO18 tweet look like?
Thank you.
Last year's XO tweet, according to the nanobiologist, was this. Join us on November 10th for XO18. First looks, surprises, and the biggest inside Xbox ever. So they didn't have as much like 12 studio games, big news on Xbox.
I feel like they did, though. Because we knew going in that there was going to be some unannounced things. That's why we all were excited about Obsidian, if I remember correctly, announcing something. And then they didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, you made it through the week. I'm proud of you. Congratulations. That's the last Kinda Funny Games Daily for this week. We'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. The hosts look like this. I didn't cop over Monday for some reason. I believe it's you and me, right? That probably makes sense.
No, it's you.
Oh, no, it's me and Snowbike Mike.
There you go.
That's right. I don't know why that didn't. So anyways, let's try this again. Next week looks like this. Monday, it's me and Snowbike Mike. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's me and Ash Paulson from Game Explain.
Game Explain.
Ash will be hanging out, of course, for the Gamescast Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. It'll also be me, Fran, and Tim. And then Friday, me and Tim back here again to close it out with our smooth family jewels.
Woo woo!
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you like the show, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Submit your questions. Support us there. It means the world to us. Then, of course, you can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, please like it, subscribe, share it with your friends. Remember, if you're driving a car right now, you have Amazon Prime. When you get home, you should use it to get the Twitch Prime, and then you have a free sub to give it away to us. I was very impressed when I came. I said this last time on the show, and then the next day we read them, and there was a million Amazon Primes in there. You guys are the best. We love and appreciate you very much. Until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.